A new avenue to compensating victims of terrorism is being tested for the first time. Under a new law, victims who have won judgments in U.S. courts against terrorist states can lay claim to foreign assets. This week, a judge heard the first claims by a group of Americans seeking Iraqi assets that have been frozen by the U.S. government. The judge hasn't yet ordered the release of those assets, but he could soon, and there is a long list of American victims behind them who also want to be paid. NPR's Libby Lewis reports.
This is a whole new area of the law, and it's developing rapidly. Pam Falk calls it terrorism law.
The new trend in lawsuits against terrorism is certainly a new avenue of foreign policy, and it's a victims-oriented avenue. So I think it's a very positive approach.
Falk teaches international law at the City University of New York. She says the new law finally lets all victims lay claim to frozen assets, and that's a boon to human rights. But it's only a boon for some, says Sean Murphy, who teaches international law at George Washington University.
It is also leaving other victims who are not as quick to the courthouse door with no real opportunity for obtaining redress themselves.
Murphy was formerly with the State Department, which long fought the idea of using frozen assets to compensate victims. Diplomats say assets are better used as bargaining chips in foreign relations. Murphy says U.S. law has been lopsided ever since Congress first allowed victims to begin suing terrorist states in U.S. courts. It became especially so in the year 2000, when the Clinton administration and Congress enacted a law that required compensating some Americans who suffered at the hand of terrorist states, but barred many others from getting paid.
Individual victims' lawyers were capable of going to particular offices on Capitol Hill and obtaining legislation that was favorable to their clients and not to other individuals.
Under the law, families of the pilots shot down by Cuban fighter jets over international waters in 1996, they were called Brothers to the Rescue, won more than $90 million. Meanwhile, families of two U.S. citizens whose relatives were executed during the Cuban Revolution were excluded. Gary Shiffman worked on that legislation as a congressional aide. He's now a lobbyist for some of those who were left out. He says the new law makes things fair by making clear no American is barred from claiming frozen assets if they win in court.
Hopefully, with the enactment of the law in 2002, the confusion is over. The policy should be clear.
Yet another fairness issue remains. It may be that all victims have access to foreign assets, but it's not at all clear whether there will be anything left for those who aren't at the head of the line. It's not yet known how much of the frozen assets actually belongs to the terrorist states. And the new law covers not only victims of the past, but also the future. Sean Murphy says eventually the assets will run out, which isn't fair to future victims. Pam Falk, an advocate of the new law, recognizes there are inequities.
There are those who look at these lawsuits and say, especially from the embassy bombings in Tanzania, they say, well, our families were victims. Why aren't we part of this? It's been a rocky road. It hasn't been totally fair, but it's the first step.
It's not clear where that first step will lead. Richard Mosk is an associate justice of the California Court of Appeal. He served as a judge of the Iran-U.S. Claims Tribunal, which grew out of the Iranian hostage crisis. He says letting victims seize frozen assets could prompt retaliation and a legal thicket that conjures up some painful reminders of U.S. history.
And the United States, if you recall, funded the Taliban way back. Are we responsible for what the Taliban did? These are serious problems that I'm not sure have been thoroughly thought out.
But he knows that few want to hear those arguments in the face of the stories of people like Jack Fraser, who was held captive in Iraq by Saddam Hussein 12 years ago. Now he is dying. Fraser talked to NPR last November.
You don't have to be in a 4x8 cell with your hands tied behind you and a sack over your head to be a hostage. So, not to sound hard about it, but I genuinely feel that Saddam Hussein did not kill me, but he ruined my life.
Gary Shiffman was in court on behalf of Jack Fraser this week. He says one of the few things that is keeping Jack Fraser alive is that he's holding on to find out whether his family will be taken care of with the frozen assets of Iraq. Libby Lewis, NPR News, Washington.